This week's parsha told us the theme is clearly the rivalry between Yaakov and Esav, first over the Bechorah, then over the Brachos. But in between is a section that seemingly isn't related directly to this theme, the story of how Yitzchak went to Gerar because of a famine in Eretz Plishtim. He went and was so successful over there that he aroused the jealousy of the Plishtim in Gerar, and they first poured dirt into the wells that Yitzchak's father, Avram Avinu, had dug in Eretz Plishtim, saying that even though we ourselves will also lose out from the loss of the wells, at least we'll prevent Yitzchak from using them. They eventually chased Yitzchak out of the land, at which point he redug the wells that the Plishtim had stuffed with dirt, and even dug some new wells of his own. The wells that they redug, he called with the names that Avram Avinu had originally called them. Apparently, the Plishtim had changed the names during that time, the interim, and the new wells that he dug, he called his own names. The first two of the wells aroused the jealousy of the Plishtim, and they claimed the water was theirs. Yitzhak called them Asek and Sitna, representing the hatred that the wells aroused. However, when the third well was dug, the Plishtim left Yitzhak alone, and Yitzhak thanked Hashem and called the well Rechovos, saying, "Now Hashem has broadened for us and allowed us to live in this land in peace." We know that everything the Torah tells us about the Avos has an important message for us. The Torah doesn't tell us every detail of their life, and what it does tell us is what Chazal tell us. Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim has a message to teach us, an allusion, allegory for what will happen to the further generations, to the Bnei Yisrael, later on when the nation would develop. And this incident is no exception. What exactly are the allusions that these psukim mean to tell us? Before we can understand what the psukim are teaching us, b'derech remez, through the ma'aseh avos siman labanim, we first must understand the simple meaning of the verses themselves. And then we can develop further the remez, the understanding of a deeper meaning of the verses. There are some unanswered questions that must bother every reader who reads these verses. When Yitzhak dug the new wells, we find that the Plishtim argued with him over the first two wells, saying, "Lonu hamayim, the water is ours." How could they say that the water is theirs when everyone saw that Yitzhak himself dug them? How could they come and say the water is theirs? The next question is that if they did come and claim the water to be theirs, then why by the third well did they leave Yitzhak alone? Obviously, everything was a Siba Me'eis Hashem, was a divine providence. Nevertheless, it must be some logical way that the Plishtim themselves justified their actions. So the Rishonim, Rashi, Radak, Kaskuni, and others explain that the Pasuk tells us when Yitzchak was chased out of Gerar that he encamped along Nachal Gerar. Nachal Gerar was not far from the city on the border of Eretz Plishtim. And when Yitzchak dug his well, the Plishtim claimed that the water that entered the well was not natural water from a water source, a self-replenishing source. Rather, it was actually rainwater that was flowing in their river in Nachal Gerar, and normally was used further down the line by the Plishtim. They claimed that the water went through underground conduits from the river to Yitzchak's well, since the well was not far from the river. That's what they meant when they said Lanu Hamayim. The second well had the same problem, and that's why they argued over the second well as well. When Yitzchak dug the third well, the pasuk says Vayatek Misham Vayachpar Be'er Acheres. Yitzchak moved away from there, meaning he distanced himself from Nachal Groar. When he moved away, the Plishtim already had no claim. They couldn't say the water came from Nachal Groar because of the great distance between the Nachal Groar and the well. Even though their first claim was also not true, as the pasuk bears witness, Vayimtzu Sham Be'er Mayim Chayim, the first two wells that Yitzchak dug were also Be'er Mayim Chayim, were a natural water source and not from the river. Nevertheless, they could claim, in the eyes of other people, that the water was theirs. However, with the third well, they had no claim, and that's why Yitzchak was successful in digging the well for himself and had no competition over its waters. That's the simple meaning of the verses. With that in mind, let's approach some of the different ways the Rishonim explain the allegory of the verses. The Radak explains that when the Pasuk tells us that Yitzchak was able to dig wells in Eretz Yisrael, meaning when he distanced himself from Nachal Groar and from Eretz Plishtim, and was free to call them by whatever name he chose, and the name stuck, then that's a hint to the fact that his children would be the Balabatim, would be in full control of the land when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael would come into Eretz Yisrael and conquer it from the nations that were there at the time, and would be free to build and to call names to places which would stick. And in fact, we might point out that even after the Jews went into Golus, were exiled, even for thousands of years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the names that the Jews called the city stuck, such that until today, there are many cities in Eretz Yisrael whose names we remember and we can identify simply because of the names that the local residents called the cities at the time that the Jews returned in 1948 or earlier. The names were preserved in their mouths with very little change from the original Hebrew names. However, the Radak continues that in Eretz Plishtim, Yitzchak was not successful in digging and in calling names. The wells that Avram Avinu dug were stuffed up with dirt, and they were given new names by the Plishtim until Yitzchak had to dig them out and call them the names that Avram Avinu originally gave them. The pasuk doesn't say what happened to them afterwards. It could be the Plishtim stuffed them up again. And when Yitzchak dug even along Nachal Groar, which is on the border of Eretz Plishtim, again, the names did not... The wells that he dug were not considered his beyond argument, and the Plishtim claimed ownership to those wells. This, says the Radak, was a hint to the fact that even when Bnei Yisrael would enter Eretz Yisrael, they would not succeed in conquering the land that is called Eretz Plishtim, what we call nowadays basically the Gaza Strip. And says the Radak, the Bnei Yisrael never conquered that, right? In the Psukim in Navi, we see that Melech Gas and Navi Melech Plishtim still stayed in the area of Eretz Plishtim and had dominion over there. The Jews did not conquer that strip. And in Bayis Sheni, the Mishnah tells us, Ashkelon Ladarim, Ashkelon Kedarim, south of Ashkelon was not conquered by the people that returned from Bavel. And until today, we see that with the tremendous Yetzer Hashemayah we have for resettling the land, nevertheless, we're not blessed in being able to gain full dominion over that strip. The Radak says that this Maisa Avos, what happened with Yitzchak, was a sign that the Jews would never be able to fully conquer that strip until Mashiach would come, and then the entire Eretz Yisrael, all that is included in the borders listed in Parshos Matos Masai, that whole area will be given to Bnei Yisrael when Mashiach comes, including what we call Eretz Keni, Knezi, V'Kadmoni, Eber Yardin, and other places, and including this area of Eretz Plishtim. That's what the Radak points out. A second approach to the allegory of the Psukim and the Maisei Avos Simen Labanim is discussed by the Ramban, who points out that Be'er Mayim Chayim, a well of fresh water, which he took dug, is representative of the Hashrilat HaShchina, the resting of the divine presence in a noticeable way in this world, such as occurred in the Batei Mikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, the Shechina's presence was evident to all by the 10 miracles that occurred regularly in the Beit HaMikdash, as we find in Avos, and by the tremendous Yiras Shemayim that people who came to the Beit HaMikdash were able to realize because of the Avod of the Karbanos. The divine presence was realized, was known, was clear to all in the Beit HaMikdash, and that is symbolized by Be'er Mayim Chaim, as a pasuk refers to the Ribono Shel Olam as Makar Mayim Chaim. The Ramban says that the three wells that Yitzchak dug represent the three Batei Mikdash, the first two of which were constant sources of strife. The Bnei Yisrael were constantly challenged by the nations who wanted to take away the Batei Mikdash from Klal Yisrael, and eventually succeeded due to our sins. The first two Batei Mikdash were destroyed by the enemy nations, by the nations around Klal Yisrael that were not able to bear the fact that Bnei Yisrael had a Beis HaMikdash. And the third Beis HaMikdash, says Ramban, will last forever, like Chazal tell us, and will be rebuilt by Mashiach. That's represented by the third well that Yitzchak dug, which he called Rechovos, Ki Hirchav Hashem Lanu Ufarinu Ba'aretz. According to the Ramban's approach, we must understand what is the connection between these three wells and between the original story of the wells that Avram Avinu dug and the Plishtim stuffed up with dirt. What is the allegory in relation to this understanding of the resting of the Asherah Sashchina of those wells that were dug and then filled up? Also, how do we understand the allegory of the Batei Mikdash in terms of what we found for why the Plishtim did not claim ownership, claim title to the third well? We saw the reason they did not claim title was because Yitzchak Avinu moved away from Eretz Grar. And we also find the reason they claim title to the first ones is because they said, Lanu Hamayim, the water is ours. What does that have to do with the Batei Mikdash being destroyed because the nation said the water is ours, and the third one being built because they moved away? And the answer to that might be as follows. The wells that Avram Avinu dug represent the Yiras Shemayim and the Hashiras Hashchina that were present from the time that Bnei Yisrael left Eretz Mitzrayim. When Bnei Yisrael left Eretz Mitzrayim, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Leman Teidun Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'aretz, he made mosim and miracles. They're evident to the entire world. Kriyas Yam Suf, because I'll say, was talked about all over, was seen or noticed by nations everywhere. Everywhere in the world, the nations were trembling from Bnei Yisrael and from the power of Hashem who chose them. That's represented by the wells that Avram Avinu dug, meaning the Yiras Shemayim that he spread and the evidence of the Hashiras Hashchina, of the presence of Hashem that he spread. And that's what's hinted to by the wells that he dug. These wells were stuffed up with dirt by the Plishtim, representing the fact that nations came along shortly afterwards and tried to stuff up this tremendous revelation with dirt, to cover it with dirt. The Amalekim came, Chazal say, and tried to cover up all the tremendous Mosim by saying, don't be afraid of Bnei Yisrael. It's all natural. There's nothing to be afraid of. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. And they tried to cover up the evidence to make it look like Bnei Yisrael were a nation like other nations. They stuffed up the wells. Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, and once again the presence of Hashem was known to all when they conquered the 31 kings and took control of the land in miraculous ways. And that's represented by the fact that Yitzchak undug or redug the wells that the Plishtim had stuffed up. Later Yitzchak dug three more wells. Those are the three Batei Mikdash. However, the nations could not stand it. The Rambam in Igeres Teiman explains at length that the reason we have so much trouble from anti-Semitism throughout the generations in all its various forms is because the nations cannot stand the fact that the Jews are clearly a chosen nation who Hashem chose to give the Torah to and to fulfill his mission in this world. And that's what they said. Lonu amayim. Hashem can't be just yours. The divine presence is ours equally. How dare you say that you're the ones upon which Hashem's presence rests? And that is the reason that the nations destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam explains. And that's exactly what happened by the Churban Bayis Rishon. And by Churban Bayis Sheni, we see even more so how the nation said, Lonu amayim. They saw that it wasn't effective to just destroy Bnei Yisrael's Beis HaMikdash to cause them torture. Instead, they said, well, we'll take the Torah for ourselves. We'll make ourselves a chosen nation. The Romans, the Holy Roman Empire, tried that. And eventually, Muhammad started Islam that tried to do the same thing in an even more brute force manner, where they just simply took the Torah we had and rewrote it, putting Yishmael instead of Yitzchak, claiming that they're the ones that have the title to Avram Avinu's progeny. They said, Lanu Hamayim. However, the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in a way that no nation can possibly say Lanu Hamayim. Chazal tell us that although today the main way that we revealed to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Elokim, the main way that he revealed himself was in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Since then, there was no time when Hashem showed his presence as much as Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Mashiach and the true Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal his presence in a way that's even greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim. That'll be Vayetak Misham. We'll have a new revelation of Hashem's divine presence that'll clearly show that only Bnei Yisrael are the chosen nation. And that is the third well, which nobody will be able to argue about and will clearly show the chosenness of Bnei Yisrael. What can we do nowadays to reach that point? What's left for us is simply to strengthen our conviction, our belief in Hashem and in His Torah, in our realization that Hashem will send a Mashiach to redeem us, and pray that Bezat Hashem, we should be able to see that Mashiach come and the fulfillment of all the prophecies, including the giving over of the entire Eretz Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash b'mehera v'yameinu.